Today is Wednesday, November 21st. This is the Women's Chumash Share. We're in the middle of Perek Yud Zayin of Sefer Bereshit. Okay, Rabotai. Anybody remember Mrs. Allen? She's from Englewood. Always sat over there.
Sarah Allen.
So her husband passed away. The Levi is today at one, right after the Share. Albert Allen is the father. Eli Allen's father. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Last week, Rabotai, we read Perek Yud Zayin. We started from Pasuk Zayin Vaki Moti Et Briti, and we read through Pasuk Yud Dalid, which was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's asking Avram to commit to his side of the bargain, of the covenant, which was the mitzvah Brit Milah. And we had noticed that there was a lot of repetition in the sentences. We tried to address that. And there are quite a number of hashkafic as well as a couple of halachic halachot that emerge from these psukim that I would like to try to cover today. So the pasuk again, just to familiarize in case you weren't there, if you look now in pasuk tet, I'm going to read the psukim quickly again. Vayomer Elohim el Avraham ve'ata et biriti tishmar. You are to observe my covenant. Atav zaracha acharecha ledorotam. Zot biriti asher tishmeru. Beini ubeinechem. Ubein zaracha acharecha. Here is the covenant that I'm asking you. Himo lachem kol zachar. Unmaltem et basar orlatchem. You are to remove the skin of your foreskin of the orla. V'hayala ot brit. This will be the sign of a covenant between me and you. Uben shmonat yamin yimolachem kol zachar ledorotechem. You shall circumcise each child when he's 8 days old. Yelid bayit, somebody who was born into your house to Avraham. Umiknat kesef, any male who you acquire. Mikol ben nechar. Umiknat kesef. Mikol ben nechar. Anybody who you purchase from amongst the Gentile world. Asher lo mizaracha hu. All of those, himol yimol, yelid beitcha, you shall certainly circumcise every child born into your house, umiknat kaspecha. V'hayta biriti bivsarchem lebrit olam. And my covenant will be in your flesh as a covenant, a permanent covenant. V'arel zachar, asher lo yimol et bisar orlato, any male that will not circumcise his child. V'nichrita hanefesh ahi meyameha et briti hefar. He will be put to death. Karet. He has destroyed my covenant. Destroyed my covenant. So Rashi tells us, if you look at that last Rashi in Pasuk Yudalid, Rashi says, Asher lo yimol mishiyagia lichlal onshin. When does the child become subject to karet? Not when he's 8 days old.
13.
When he becomes 13. Then the obligation switches unto himself. Until 13, it is the father's obligation. The father is never punished for not fulfilling his obligation vis-a-vis his child. It is always the child himself who will face karet if he does not circumcise himself after he's reached the age of 13. Aval aviv, says Rashi, ein anush alav karet. The father does not violate an isur karet. Aval over ba'aseh. The father violates a mitzvat aseh, where the father is told to circumcise his child. But for this one, the obligation or the punishment of karet, it is transferred to the child. And it is only one of two positive commandments for which there is a punishment upon failure to do it. If you don't eat matzah on Pesach, nothing happens to you. If I don't put on tefillin, nothing happens to me. If we don't eat in the sukkah, nothing happens to us. If you don't bring a korban Pesach, and you don't circumcise yourself, you are chayav karet. Chayav karet. And the one for milah is very different than from korban Pesach. Korban Pesach, the obligation sets itself in as soon as Pesach passes by, and I deliberately did not bring a korban Pesach. I'm not interested. Right away, you are chayav karet. With milah, the obligation sets in at age 13, but every day that you are alive, you still can do it. Because it's not necessarily defined by time. The start season is defined by time. Can't circumcise before 8 days. But after 8 days, the obligation is constant. So even if you don't do it, the obligation exists to circumcise the next day. The next day. So a child who has reached the age bar mitzvah and has not yet circumcised himself will not be exposed to karet because he has an opportunity to what? To do it the next day. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to kill you, to take your life, that's when the karet is, that's when it's, because then you don't have a chance to do it anymore when you are, you know, in the florist business, you're pushing daisies from the bottom up. Under those circumstances, you don't have an opportunity any longer to perform the mitzvah. That's when the kares takes effect. Just 1 second. Rashi then tells us, gives us his opinion as to what karet is. There is an enormous debate about it, but Rashi takes his opinion. V'nichrita ha-nefesh, holeich ariri. Number one is that he goes childless, umeit kodem zmano, and you die before the time that was originally scheduled for you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a certain plan how long each and every one of us are going to live. There is absolutely no logic that we understand what dictates and determines someone should die at 50 and why does somebody live to 100. We have no idea why this happens. But whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu had allotted to you on a Rosh Hashanah or a Yom Kippur, that Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, whatever it is, you violate an Issa Kares, it means that it's going to be trimmed down to some extent. That's what Rashi says. Yeah, question.
What is the reasoning behind the dictate here to say that all of a slave that all the elite by it have to have risen, even if they're not Jewish?
Correct.
Why do they all have to have risen?
That's a very good question. Because, I once mentioned this, the halakha does not recognize having Gentile help, or not really help, it's not, it means Gentile residents of your house who are not Jewish, because they know the danger that it poses when they have a chance to influence your children. So therefore, when you purchase a slave, a Gentile slave, when purchasing a slave was permissible, you had 12 months to convince this person to engage in some type of conversion process. And an Eved Kina'ani, a Gentile slave purchased, is obligated after that year, he is circumcised, number one, if he has to go to the mikveh, number two, and he's obligated to observe all mitzvot, with the exception of mitzvot asei shehazman grama. Anything time-bound mitzvah, that should ring a bell with some of you. Time-bound mitzvot, they're exempt. So same thing with an Eved Kenani. But he is not yet permitted to marry a Jewish woman. Not permitted to marry a Jewish woman. He can marry a Shivcha Kena'anit. He can.
Who is also converted?
Yes. But he cannot yet marry a full Jew or a Jewess. So when does that happen? When the slave is freed, that completes his conversion. He goes to the mikveh a second time, and then after that he's a full-fledged Jew. Because the Torah does not want Gentile influences it's only people who you legally own, it's slaves. But the Rabbanan said that's why they have certain laws against, which apply to full-time help, various reasons for it. One of the reasons why, for example, if a Gentile working in your house handles wine, that you're not allowed to drink the wine, you're not allowed to derive any benefit from the wine, you have to spill it out, is not only because we're looking to protect this house from Yayin Nesach, from wine that was literally poured L'Avodah Zarah. Because we don't really have much wine libation L'Avodah Zarah in the United States today. But it's done also to diminish chances of social interaction. Wine is a primary medium of social interaction. So if you're going to allow a Jew to drink the wine handled by a Gentile, so the Gentile will invite you to his or her house, they will pour the wine, and then you start up a relationship. And then when you start up a relationship, what then happens? The relationship becomes a little more serious, and then it becomes, something that we pain over when somebody marries out of faith. So in order to eliminate, to cut down social interaction, one of the things is, if they touch the bottle of wine, you cannot eat it. It's also one of the explanations why Bishul Akum is Asur. Bishul Akum, why Shchitat Akum is Asur Midoraita. A Gentile slaughters an animal, perfectly okay. You're not allowed to eat the animal. You're not allowed to eat the meat. Again, to eliminate or reduce social interaction. That's what Rashi said. Yes. So now, take the handout, please, and we'll start with the Ramban, who will then serve as a launch pad for two or three other hashkafic comments about the mitzvah of milah. So the Ramban writes in the middle of the line, "V'omro b'ta'am hamila." The Chazal have stated in the reason for mila. He's actually citing the Radak, and Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in his Kuzari offers the exact same explanation. "B'ta'am hamila, shisham zichron be'ever hata'ava rav." Shisam zikaron be'ever hatava rav hamehuma v'achet. In the reproductive organ of the male, that's where a lot of trouble brews in terms of him remaining loyal and dedicated unto God. And as a result, leval yishtam shubo, this is a reminder that the primary use of having relations with your wife and using that male productive organ is rak b'mitzvah u'b'mutah. It is only for the purpose of trying to produce children, mitzvah, pruvu, and b'mutar, when the halakha says it's permissible. At this time of the month it's permissible, that time of the month the halakha says it's not permissible. So in order to somehow give the male a constant reminder that that he should conduct himself in the domain of sexual activity in an appropriate fashion, therefore, says the Ramban, quoting the Kuzari, that's the reason why this brit between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avram is specifically in that area. Could have been another Brit Milai. Could have told us to put a tattoo on our hand. He could have done that also and serve as a Brit. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose this manner? That's theory number one of the Ramban. Of the Ramban, cited also by the Radak. It's number one. However, I'd like you to take a look at page 2A, 2 and 2A, which also contains a significant halachic pasuk. A significant halachic pasuk concerning Brit Milah. The topic here has nothing to do with Brit Milah. It has to do with how a woman who gives birth to a child engages in a certain spiritual defilement period and then a spiritually pure period. Spiritually pure period. So the Torah tells, this is what the topic is in Parsha Sazria. Sazria is loaded exclusively with Tumah and Tahara laws. It's got nothing else in it but Tumah and Tahara laws. Tahara of Tumah, of the person, of his house, clothing, all of that is described in this Parsha. So the Torah writes, Daber b'nei Yisrael lemar isha ki tazria v'yalda zachar v'tama shivat yamim. A woman who gives birth, whether she's bleeding or not, if she somehow had a child, a bloodless childbirth, under those circumstances, for the first 7 days, she is tamei'ah and may not have any marital relations with her husband. For if she gives birth to a girl, it's 14 days. I'm not going to learn the whole unit. She gives birth, it's 14 days. Then, for a male, then for a boy, there are 33 days during which, whether she's bleeding profusely or not, husband and wife are permitted to have relations from day number 33, from day number 7 for another 33, day number 8, till day number 40. 33 additional days. After that time period, on day number 41, she has to bring a korban in the Beit HaMikdash. For a girl, the Tum'ah period goes 14 days, and then the time when she, it's called Yemei Tahara, the day of her clean days, no matter how much she's bleeding postpartum, nonetheless, she remains Tahara to her husband for 66 days, has allowed to have relations. And on the 81st day, she brings a korban to the Beit HaMikdash and is allowed to consume korbanot and enter the Mikdash. That's what the Torah describes in this unit. One pasuk, pasuk gimel, happens to be thrown in as an aside. Ubayom hashmini yimol besar olato. And on the 8th day, you are obligated to circumcise this little pisher's, his pisher. You have to circumcise him. Very nice. Fine. Now this is just is a sidebar comment. It's not the topic here. But yet, it is a very significant throw-in. Because there is no other verse in the Torah post Har Sinai that makes a reference that there's an obligation to circumcise your child. All of the psukim that are quoted are all from our Parsha. From our Parsha. And from next Parsha that we will learn, Vayera, when the Torah writes, Vayamal Avraham et Yitzchak beno ben Shimonat Yamim. Abraham circumcised the child when he was 8 days old. And I'm going to show you many drashot that are learned that from our Parsha. And the primary question on this entire unit is based on a famous Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchot Avot, it's the only thing I forgot to put in the packet. The Rambam writes that even though the Torah tells us at the end of Parshat Vayechi that all of Yaakov and his children, after he was buried in Eretz Canaan, Vaya'as le'evel le'aviv shivat yamim, that they had shiva, they had avelus for 7 days, says the Rambam, Shiva mid'oraisa is only 1 day. And they learn it out from a pasuk in Parsha Shmini. I'm not going to show you the source right now. It's in the context of the death of Nadav and Avihu, when they died. So that first day was a day of avelus. So he asks the Rambam, what about when it says that they had avelus for 7 days for Yankala? Why can't I learn anything with that? Says the Rambam, a famous rule. Nitna Torah, remember these four words. V'nitchadsha halacha, you can write it down. There you go, Rachel. Nitna Torah, V'nitchadsha halacha. It's Perek Aleph of Hilchos Avel. Right at the beginning of Hilchos Avel. That the Torah was given and new halachot emerge. So that halachically, we cannot derive any halachic imperative for us if it's written before Shmot chapter 20. Because Shmot chapter 20 happens to be the Aseret HaDibrot at Baman Har Sinai. Any text that covers halakhic material prior to Shmot chapter 20 cannot be used and held against us because nitna Torah v'nitchatsha halacha. So the Rishonim scratched their head very hard to find sources post Har Sinai to identify with something which we always think it's related early. This week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayishlach. What does the Torah tell us we are not allowed to eat based on this week's Parsha? The Gidon Asher, the sciatic nerve. No one ever eats the hind quarter of an animal. The butchers, when they get the animal, they give it straight to the non-kosher division. Because it's a headache and a lot of time to take out the Gidon Asher. In Eretz Yisrael, where meat is at a premium, they put in the time, and therefore you can get, you know, certain cuts of steak that you can't get here. In Eretz Yisrael, you can get it because they take out the Gidon Asher. And what happens as a result? There is no place in the Torah where it says Al Kain Lo Yochlu Bnei Yisrael HaGidon Asher. Doesn't say it any place. Only there. Oh, well, how am I going to find a pasuk to find? You'll read it into that pasuk, and I'm telling you, it's not there. But they're struggling with it because there is no, you can't really base something on these parshiot that we are learning. And therefore, by Mila, Chazal were lucky. The Torah threw in this off-the-cuff remark and said, Ubayom hashmini yimol b'sar arlato. This is the pasuk that legally mandates that a child has to be circumcised at the eighth day. Not because what we're learning has no bearing on us. That's point number one. Point number two. Point number two. The context of this insertion is in, as I just told you, it's in the tahara after childbirth. And in the tahara after childbirth concludes with a korban. This was seen by Chazal, and therefore they believe that philosophically, when somebody engages in the mitzvah of milah, he is offering a sacrifice. When you do a korban, you have a knife and you cut the flesh. What do you do then with the blood? You sprinkle it on the mizbeach. A mohel does the same thing. He doesn't sprinkle it any place. But there has to be some bloodletting. There must be some bloodletting. That's part of the halacha. Part of the halacha. And that's why a mohel engages in what we call the practice called mitzitza. Literally, mitzitza means to suck. And before they had little gadgets today, they used to suck the baby and draw out blood. In all the Hasidic communities, they still do it. They still do it. And unfortunately, in some cases, it's communicated various diseases, and that's why in our community, we don't let Mo'alim do Mitzitza B'peh in our community. And in fact, Rav Chaim Briska, the Rav's grandfather, said, you know what? If I were capable, I would abolish the whole halach of Mitzitza completely. Because I'm painting Mitzitza in its philosophic paint. It's the equivalent of the sprinkling of the blood on the Mizbeach. That's a nice hashkafa idea. But al pi halacha, we do mitzitza for a completely different reason. In case there was some infection at the time as a result of the cut, So everybody knows that if you get a little splinter, when do you know that you've gotten it all out? When you start bleeding. The blood cleanses out all of the germs. The original mitzitza was done to make sure, in case the child had some type of germ or infection, we can get it out. So they got it out by drawing out the blood. Well, today we know you increase the chance of mitzitza, of an infection, by doing the mitzitza b'peh. So some mohalim put a little schnapps in their mouth and they swish it around and then they do it. We know that today it's dangerous. So we do it, but with a utensil. It puts a little pressure on and the blood comes out. So we can still maintain loyalty to the concept of a korban that the milah happens to be associated with. Reb Chaim wasn't into philosophy. That wasn't his style. He was a halachist. So he said, number one, if there is a bris on Shabbos, I tell the moel, you dare not do mitzitza. Because doing mitzitza is an act of chilul Shabbos. Anytime you draw blood from anybody, that's making a chabura wound. That's why you're not allowed to shech an animal on Shabbos. So he said, when they used to think that it was done to avoid infection, I understand why they did mitzitza on Shabbos. But now we know very well that it's not going to be preventing infection, it's going to be the cause for infection. Therefore, if you do mitzitza, I'm not going to let you do it on Shabbos. No mitzitza at all. And he said, if I had any clout in this world, I would abolish mitzitza completely. But he couldn't. The chassidim don't believe him. Who cares about Chaim? He's a litvak. Who cares about him? Chassidim don't have, they have their own paiskim. And they're very much into what? The idea that the bloodletting represents a korban. But where did the idea emerge from? The fact that the pasuk as an insert happened to be inserted exactly in that particular parsha where they conclude with a woman giving birth at childbirth. I have a very interesting explanation as to what the korbanot are all about, but not for now. When we get to, I don't think we'll ever get to this parsha, but okay. Yes. What? So that's what some believe, but there is no source that necessarily traces. It's represented by Kedesh Yitzchak, then that too symbolically represented a korban. But not necessarily like Kedesh Yitzchak. And in fact, if you will just look for a second on page 2b, I'm sure you remember these when you made a bris if you had a boy. Sure you remember this. After everybody left, because it's a weekday, so you go to bench. So there were 200 people at the bris, and there are hopefully 10 left for the bench. So they can say this whole long thing. So at the end of the benching, there are 6 harachamans that are chanted, usually they in honor various people to recite each harachaman. And each harachaman focuses on a different aspect or person of the meal. The first one is to bless the father of the child. And it's what?
And mother.
That doesn't say it. Oh, yes, it does. Yes, you know. Yes, right? Yes, it does. I stand corrected. I'm glad it does. Now, v'yizku, may they be privileged, l'gadlo, to raise him, ulechancho, to educate him, ulechakmo, to teach him Torah. Now listen to the next phrase. Miyom hashmini vahala yeratze domo. Miyom hashmini vahala yeratze domo. Please open up to Vayikra chapter 22. It should be pasuk chabet or maybe chabgir. You should remember this pasuk because we read every time on a yontif. Shoro chesav oeis ki yivalei. The very end of chapter is pasuk chafet.
In
perek chafet.
Yeah.
And it starts with, count a little later. Right? No. It starts pasuk chafzayin.
It is pasuk chazak. Shor o chesed o'eis ki yivalei. If an animal, an ox, or a shepsela, has a kid, v'haya tachat imo shivat yamin, it shall remain with its mother for 7 days. U'miyom hashmini v'hala yiratzeh dama. When an animal gives birth to a child, you are not the korbanisha. An animal is not permitted to be offered as a korban for the first 7 days. Only on the 8th day can you offer its blood, yeratzeh damo, ritzui, ritzei Hashem alokim. Ratzeh is the word that God uses when He accepts a korban. V'nirtza lo, God has accepted, He's found it pleasing. So the animal could not have been offered until day number 8. On day number 8, miyom hashinua yeratzeh damo. Where are we saying this? And a bris. We're including that very same phrase. You know why you have a bris meal on the 8th day? Because the child is going to be a korban. And for the first 7 days, let him be with mom and pop. On the 8th day, we offer him as a korban unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this idea of recognizing mila as a korban has been used in the concluding harachamans at a brit milah, at the birchat hamazon of a brit milah. So the next time you have to speak, it will be at a grandchild, and you'll say, I want to speak, and you'll come up with this, what a great Dvar Torah, wow, unbelievable, unbelievable. Then, point number 2 that I want to bring out from this. The 5th harachaman says, Harachaman hu yishlach lanu mishicho holeich tamim. May God send us mishicho Mashiach. Now look at the next phrase. Bizichut chatan lamulot damim. But let's say it's a little sharper. Moshe was not the one who was chatan. He is called the chatan. But who said that phrase?
Tzipora
said that. When Tzipora, what? Circumcised Eliezer. Yeah. Then she said, she called him chatan lamulot amin. Moshe did not circumcise his child. And in fact, open up the Chumash to that particular episode for just a moment, because another idea will emerge, which will be converted into a halacha. So it is Shmot. I think it's Dalid. Let me just see where it is. Yes, it's in Parsha Shmot. Yes, it is chapter 4. It is verse 24 and 25 and 26. Vayehi baderech bamalon. This is as Moshe and his family are leaving Midian. They left Yitro, Tzipora's father, and his family, and are traveling back to Mitzrayim. Says the Torah, they checked into Motel 6, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to the motel. Vayif Yisheu Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu met Moshe at the front door of Motel 6. And Vayivakesh Hamito, and he wanted to kill Moshe. That's what the text says. Many are perplexed as to why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to kill Moshe Rabbeinu. The standard answer is quoted by Rashi right there, that Moshe did not circumcise his first son Gershon. Now Moshe had an excuse. We were traveling. And it's dangerous to engage in travel and milah.
For this reason, Chazal explained that Am Yisrael, after they left Mitzrayim, they only circumcised their children. They only brought one Korban Pesach, only the first anniversary of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, which is beginning year two of their travels in the Midbar. That's the only time they brought a Korban Pesach. The next 38 years, no Korban Pesach whatsoever. And we said, you don't bring Korban Pesach, you chayv karetz. And the excuse which Chazal did is because they were traveling. And if you travel, you can't do circumcision. Well, if you don't do circumcision, you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. It says, kol orel lo yochal bo. Someone's uncircumcised, could be the greatest tzaddik in the world. If he's not circumcised, he's not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. So if they couldn't circumcise the Korban Pesach, they couldn't circumcise, therefore they couldn't bring the Korban Pesach. That was Moshe's excuse, that was travel. That means he had to leave Midyan Pesach exactly when Gershom was 7 days old. Now we start traveling, too late to circumcise. Whatever, that's a little difficult explanation.
At that point, the Torah wasn't given yet.
That question you can always ask. But Chazal always believed that the Avot observed much of the Torah. Why wouldn't Moshe, and that obligation he would have to have from the time of Abraham, he would have to circumcise his child. So, second question. Why would Moshe have to die? Was Moshe uncircumcised? Of course he was uncircumcised. He was circumcised. And we just learned Rashi. Who is Chayav Karet if you don't circumcise? Gershon's a little baby now. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to attack Moshe? Vayivakesh Hamito. So I want to share with you an idea by a great, great darshan, Rav Kanatovsky, Zippor Ramayim's father, sort of Rabbi Kanatovsky, Zuchana Lebracha, a spectacular darshan. Spectacular. Second best I ever saw, right after the Rav, second best darshan I ever saw, ever read. And they're still holding 25 years worth of drashot, collecting dust in their basement. Still, they printed one sefer on one drasha that he gave on each parsha from Bereshis until the end of Vayikra. He has 25 years on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, 25 years on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, first day of Sukkot, second day, and 25 years on every parsha of the Torah.
Well, written down?
All written up. They need
Kanatovsky.
He was the Rav of the Amizal Eastern Parkway and then West Hempstead. Then he made Aliyah, became the Rosh HaYeshiva of the Beit Midrash in Bar Ilan. A year after he made Aliyah, he slipped in the shower and he died. Yeah, as a young man. So he said the following. He said the following. If you look at the story that is taking place, you will see that Moshe constantly balks at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's request to accept the mantle of leadership to deliver Am Yisrael from its right. Constantly. I'm going to just get a chumash for a second because I want to show you pasuk by pasuk. Pasuk by pasuk. Go back a little into Shemot. I'll start with the exact psukim. Start with Perek Dalet. God told him, I want you to go and tell Paro to send him out. Perek Dalet, Pasuk Aleph. Vayan Moshe. Vayon. Vehein lo yamidu li. They're not going to believe me. Who am I? I'm going to now come and say, tell Paro. So God says, don't worry, I'll give you some miracles to prove your point. Go to Pasuk Yud. Vayomu Mashal Hashem. Be Adonai, by the Shulam, please. Lo ish dvarim anochi. Ich bin ish ken redner. I'm not a good spokesman. Gam mitmol, gam shalshom. Like yesterday, the day before, I never had the capacity to speak well. Gam me'oz dabercha lavdecha. from the time that I met you when you appeared to me at the burning bush. Kichvad peh uchvad lashon anochi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds. Vayomer Hashem Elav. Nisom pela adam. Who put a mouth onto a man? You can't talk? I'll make sure you'll be able to talk. Good. Bye. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is getting a little angry. Next in Yudalad. Vayicharaf Hashem b'Moshe. He's getting a little angry. And he says, Halo Aaron achicha halevi yodati ki daber yidaberu. Aaron already knows he's going to be the actual spokesperson. V'gam hu hinehu yotzelik rasecha. He's already going out to greet you. Good. Now let's read Yudches. Vayelech Moshe, vayoshev al yetechotano, vayomer lo, elchana ve'ashuva, El Achai, Asher Ber Mitzrayim, Ve'ere Ha'odam Chayim. Tell me what he tells his father-in-law in Pasuk Yud. Why is he going to Mitzrayim? To see if the guy's okay. Is that why he's going to Mitzrayim? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him? Why is he going to Mitzrayim? Because you're going to become the leader. So as he's talking to his father, he still has not accepted the mission. And that's why he tells his father, you know, I'm just going there. And what's the impression? What's the impression? I'm coming back. And that's when he doesn't say anything about taking what? His family. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, b'migyan, leiv shuv Mitzrayim. I'm asking you to return to Mitzrayim, not to what? Not to what? To go check people out? Number one, there's nothing to worry about. Anybody who's out to get you, I've taken care of them. Don't worry about it. Now Moshe comes back into the house. Now he's already taking the mateh. God told him to take this mateh. So it seems like what? That he is what? He's considering it. Considering it. God comes to him again and tells him, I want you to do this, this, and that. And now, we come to the episode of the hotel. Says Rabbi Kanatovsky, you know what Moshe is agonizing about? I don't want to accept this mission. But God has told me I have to accept this mission. That is one of the most agonizing things that you could possibly have to experience. And that's what it means, Vayivakesh Hamito. It's not that God wanted to kill him. It was God hovering over him, waiting to hear the words, Moshe said, okay, Rabbi Yishalom, I will do it. And as HaKadosh Baruch Hu hovers right next to him in the hotel, he's thinking to himself, what a pest. He's badgering and badgering. I don't want to accept this job. I'm not interested. And Tzipora senses it. So what does Tzipora do? Vatikach Tzipora Tzor, Vatichrat et Orlat Bina Vatagal Raglav. Why does she decide I have to circumcise my child right now? Because she tells Mom, why did I marry you? You told me about this glorious past of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and promises that God made to them that they will. That their children will have to go into Mitzrayim, and then I will redeem them and bring them to Eretz Canaan. That's why I married you. To become the wife of a person who has absolutely nothing. My father was Kohen Midian, was the high priest of Midian. I could have lived in luxus, marrying somebody and remaining in Midian. Why did I marry you? Because you told me about this glorious past and this incredible future that will ultimately unfold. Where? What symbol did she use to bring that imagery to his head? The imagery of Brit Milah. So she circumcises the child, and she says the word Chatan Damim Lamulot. Look at the next pasuk. Vayomer Hashem al Aaron, Leich Likrat Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayelech, Vayifkeshenu, Bahar Elohim, Vayishaklo. All of a sudden, no more protest. No more protest.
Aaron doesn't protest.
No, but Aaron came, and who met him there?
Moshe.
Because Moshe accepted the mission, just as God had asked him to. Torah doesn't even tell us that he suddenly, there's not one more second of hesitation. No more dancing, no more, I don't know how to speak, I don't know how to dance, nothing.
He wouldn't argue with his wife, he would argue with Hashem.
Good point, good point. So therefore, when we now quote this pasuk in the Harachaman, Moshe became, at the time, the Mashiach Hashem, the agent of redemption of Am Yisrael. The mitzvah of Milah symbolically represents that act of Milah initiated by Tzipporah guaranteed that the Goel of Am Yisrael will accept his mission, go forth, and what? And do whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do. So in the Harachamans, we ask that the Brit Milah that we are celebrating today, whoever it is, who yishlach lanu mishicha, that just that, and that's why I quote the phrase chatan lamulot damim. Just as the milah triggered Moshe's affirmation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's assignment, so too we hope that today the child who we circumcise today will be the one who triggers the arrival of Mashiach. Why? Where do I see that Milah is associated with Mashiach? Chatan Lamulot Damim. Powerful. 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 Kanatovsky didn't connect it to the Harachaman. That's what I'm doing. But I used his whole development and his flow about what was the great significance of what's happening, why he reinterprets the phrase Vayivakesh Hamito. It's not that God wanted to kill him because he didn't do Bris Milah. That's such a difficult thing. It's the agony of confronting HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you know you're going to have to give in, but I really don't want to do it. That's incredibly agonizing. Good. That's point number 9, whatever it is. Good. Yeah. So, just go. I have plenty more on this. I'm not going to throw these. I'm going to either redo the pages as I did last today. Okay? Just go to page number 6 for a minute. There are actually 10 pages in this pack. There are a lot of A's and B's. Because as I saw something else, I had a... So, this particular pasuk is found in Parshat Toldot after a famine, after Yitzchak is born, another famine develops in Eretz Canaan, and God tells Yitzchak, Shchon ba'aretz hazos. I don't want you to leave like Pop left. You remain in Eretz Canaan. And then the Torah says, and I have this incredible bond with you because of your father. Ekev asher shama Avraham bikoli. It is on account of the fact that Avraham listened to my voice. And the end of the pasuk says, Vayishmor mishmarti chukotai v'toratai. Because he observed what? He observed my commandments and my statutes and so on and so forth. Bikoli Kiminyan Ekev 272. Shoma Avram Bikoli. Vehu Chaya Kuf Pehe. And he lived 185 years. Fine, I'm not interested in what he says there. Look at the Rashbam. Ekev asher shama Avraham bekoli, ze ha'akeda. This is a reference that Avraham was willing to offer his son Yitzchak on the Mizbeach, because it says bikoli, and by the Akeda it says Ya'an asher shamata bikoli. So when it says I have a good relationship with Avraham, Ekev asher shama Avraham bikoli, it means in the honor of the Akeda. Vayishmor mishmarti zumila dichsiv ata et briti tishmor. Tishmor. Our pasuk. It's in pasuk tet. Ve'ata et briti tishmor. So a second thing for which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was grateful to Avraham is that he sacrificed himself. Excuse me. He circumcised himself. Then there is a word there, mitzvotai, in that pasuk. Zumila asher lishmona. What mitzvah did Avraham fulfill? Circumcising his son when he was 8 days old. Dichsiv vayomol Avraham es Yitzchak beno ben shmonat yamin kasher tziva oto Elohim. And then chukotai, it says that Avraham observed mishmarti chukotai toratai v'sorotai. Chukotai is also zumila lidorot, that all future generations, shine emar vayamideha liyakov lechok liyisrael berit olam. So here the this is one of the Bali HaTosfot, whose commentary is on the Torah, places the relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu established with Yitzchak on account of the loyalty of his father Avraham. What aspects of Avraham's life is now being credited for the continuation of the relationship with Yitzchak, Akedat Yitzchak, Korban, and Brit Milah for himself, and Brit Milah for his child Yitzchak. So again, there is another symbolism to be understood from the mitzvah of Milah, that the mitzvah of Milah was the catalyst, according to this interpretation, as the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu pledged to protect Yitzchak, despite the fact that there was a famine, and that I'm not going to let you leave Eretz Canaan, because ultimately one of the tangential benefits of the Brit between HaKadosh Baruch and Avraham was that I'm going to be your God, and where am I going to be your God? In Eretz Canaan. We learned that last week. Only in Eretz Canaan. So if it's only in Eretz Canaan, what does God want from Yitzchak to constantly remind himself of? Where is this going to stay there, even though it's going to be difficult times, it's going to be a famine? Not like Avraham, who left Eretz Canaan and went down to Mitzrayim for the famine. Good. We will stop here and continue next of all. A couple more things in this, but we'll continue next of all. Thank you.